So, Commander Gudbrandsen, good evening. Have you brought the list of jewels? I mean, this is incredible. Do the people in Denmark even know the maker of this film comes from a long line of Danish Nazis? Here, hold this, would you please? So, drinking while driving, eh? Get a photo of this.
Roger Stone, Donald Trump's close confidant, is now under arrest.
They say he lied, but other people lied too.
Done, finished.
Do not come here, because if you come here, you're a dead man. Metaphorically speaking. Here we stand with a front seat to history.
We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win.
We are relaunching Stop the Steal.
President Trump has refused to promise he'll leave office peacefully.
Right now, we need to mobilize bodies.
Never surrender and fight for America.
Ooh, see that?
More than 300 people have been charged in connection with the January 6th attack.
You said the word fight, Mr. Stone. You're charged with inciting violence. Lock them. You can't beat them if you're in prison. You can beat them if you're sitting in the body, because then you can say what you did is unconstitutional. Now do you get it?
All right. Here I am with Christopher Gudbrandsen, director of A Storm Foretold, which is in select theaters January 5th, 2023, which is 2024, sorry. For people not aware yet, could you give them a quick idea of what the documentary is?
Well, it's a two-year roller coaster ride of Roger Stone getting arrested, being prosecuted, orchestrating his own presidential pardon, setting up Stop the Steal, coordinating with the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, inside the January 6th on the Willard Hotel and at the Capitol, and Trump, then Stone's attempts to get another pardon for his role in January 6th afterwards. And all of this happens while he has a big cigar and a martini in his hand. So,
exactly. Yeah. It's an absolutely amazing documentary. When you came over, were your plans right away to make a Roger Stone documentary?
Not at all. I mean... I had to come to America after the 16 election. You know, this environment the whole world is in today, you know, where the biggest, the loudest liar wins, mm-hmm. and all these false narratives are taking over everywhere, was just something I found extremely interesting. And the Trump campaign had, to be frank, really leaned into this and used it very efficiently to win the election. And I was investigating several different angles to this, several different stories, when I had I stumbled across Stone, but it was pretty much that. And I was going to do an interview with him, and I basically never stopped filming.
Well, he's a fascinating person. You can't deny he's very charismatic, and he can be very funny. And so that's part of it. So what was it about him right away, though? You're like, oh, this is going to be what I focus on for the documentary.
Well, I remember meeting him at his own home in Fort Lauderdale, and he was a bit under the weather, concerned. And his former business partner, Paul Manafort, who had been Trump's campaign manager, had just the weeks before been sentenced, I think it was to 7.5 years in federal prison, which is by any standard a very life-changing experience, I guess. But of course, they all got pardoned, so we shouldn't feel that sorry. Right. But that was happening, and there were rumors all over the place that Stone was going to be next. He was expected to be like the last person to be indicted by the special counsel investigation, the Russia investigation. So, I mean, that tension that was all around him, and that, you know, it was also that weird combination of, you had the sense of history in the making and of that this guy might bring down the president. I mean, that was the vibe in the media at that time. This Stone could, if he flipped on Trump, eventually bring down the president. So you had this enormous historical and political perspective, and then at the same time you have this very performative personality who jokes around and treats it all as if it's just fun and games. So I think that bizarre vibe was just, I mean, was as a filmmaker, I mean, this comes across as a bit cynical. It's not that I don't have an ideological side to me,
sure.
but it was just, it was extremely tempting. I think there's a European expression, say, gefundenes Fressen, that it was very, very appetite inducing.
Yeah, well, not to talk about like a character arc in a documentary, but his character arc is amazing because he seems like he has no cracks in his personality early on. Like nothing really phases him. By the end, he's like a seething with rage, and it's almost like a movie villain where he does this weird thing where by the end, he's like, he'll be talking and then he'll like shake his head and have this cigar like... weird face. Is very strange. Did he do that at all before, or was that, I know, because obviously you can edit it a certain way, but was he like that at all early on, or was it really how you show in the documentary?
It was that way. It escalated, and you are, I'm very glad that you noticed this, because obviously it is an observational film, and you talk about that it's a fly on the wall. That is of course bullshit. I mean, it is storytelling.
Yeah, I say that about all documentaries. I think that's kind of a myth of documentaries, that no one has a side or whatever. You're still trying to tell a story.
Absolutely, and one of the stories that was extremely appealing to me was also this political friendship between Donald Trump and Roger Stone. I've been making political films. I've been making all sorts of films. But I really love political dramas. I've been making them for many years. And it's one of the reasons is because relationships in politics are such a caricature of our other relationships. There's such a dominating element of cynicism and exploitative behavior. And for Trump and Stone to have been able to sustain a friendship for decades, while they obviously both are, I don't think it's rude to say they're self-serving in their nature.
Yeah, that totally comes through.
Yeah, At the end, I don't want to, I mean.
I don't want to spoil your own movie or history. I don't know. But it's clear by the end, you know, they may be scheming together, but at the end, it's really still out for each other.
So in that sense, The final scene in the film from a filmmaking perspective is I think one of the greatest presents the filmmaking gods have handed me in my life, because it's the friendship coming to a collapse. It's a 40-year friendship where they have given each other extreme space to be not too kind to each other.
Yeah. And Roger Stone's final word to you in the film, final sentence to you in the film, is pretty amazing. So.
Yes, I hope he will not go through. But it is an arc for a buddy movie that you can only dream of, and then it's actually truth, and it gravitates around a history that I think has an impact on all. I don't know, the risk of getting too much up on a high horse here, but for all modern democracies.
Yeah. I hate to laugh about it, something because that I live here and it's in the world, but still, if you don't,
I don't know if it's a comfort, but I came here because we are experiencing in the same, but in different variations. This is like, you know, you are the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
So that's why we are here. We came here.
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
When you said, like, you know, you know, you're like, this is part of history. And so when I watch it now, we know what happened in January 6th. But when you're living it and filming it, how much of, like, when he's talking openly about basically planting the seeds to discredit the election before anyone knows who's actually going to win or anything, how much of that do you, when you're just there, like, is it him just saying stuff? Because he also has a weird sense of humor and he'll joke about some weird stuff. So is it him joking? Is this real? When did you realize, like, oh, this is actually happening? This is actually this plan?
Well, I'm a very, very slow learner. I'm there to observe. So I don't really have to engage in that sense. But I think I pretty early on learned, as I'm sure you have as well, that there's there are several layers to everything that is said, not only by Stone, but by Trump and that whole movement, that you should never, but that goes for comedy always. If you take comedy just for being comedy, then you fool yourself. It always have several layers. But so it's a kind of insurance policy as well. As some of the annoying thing when we edited this, Roger would very often talk about wanting to use violent rhetoric and then end the sentence with saying peacefully.
Right.
And I think, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I have it in my notes because it comes up very often and it's very deliberate. Yeah.
It's the same with the jokes. I mean, it's just kidding. And there's the footage of Alex Jones. It didn't make it into the film, but Alex Jones is leading the march instead of Trump, instead of Stone on January 6th to the Capitol. And he's just shouting into a bullhorn these outrageously aggressive, violent sentences, and then with a stroke, peacefully.
Yeah, it's kind of like if I'd say the most heinous things about you, then like, yeah, but you're a good guy. It's just like, yeah, it's fun.
Almost like an old Mel Brooks film. Something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, go ahead.
I don't want to. It's a weird question because obviously you spent your several years of your life making this, but at the end, do you think will the documentary matter? Because people who love that side are going to love it no matter what. Because you go back to when Trump's defense of Roger Stone was like, they say he lies, but so does other people. It was almost like he's not saying he didn't lie or he's innocent. He's just saying other people do the same thing. So at the end of the day, you know, do you think your documentary, it's a great thing to watch, but do you think it'll actually make a difference to anyone?
You're being so polite. I think you have a very good point. I think you're absolutely right that the value of the film, except for my personal self-realization, which I think is a very it's sure. Not very interesting to other people, but it is a mirror. It's a Rorschach test, so you can interpret it any way you want. And I think that's the beauty of observation documentaries, and that's why I love watching them and making them. If you are a hardcore Trump supporter, you can see the film, and I think it's likely you will revel in Roger Stone. You'll think he's fantastic, and you'll giggle. And if you are left-leaning, I think you'll be extremely upset and horrified. So yes, you're right. It is not, but my films are not about preaching. But what I hope it will do, I hope it will affect some of the complacency. Mm-hmm. I hope it will make someone inspire someone to make their opinions heard. And
because that's a real power, is the people kind of in the middle who just don't say anything.
Yeah, which are most of the people.
Right.
And, so I think, you know, obviously, you know, when you make a film like this, I literally spent years editing it. And there isn't a frame that isn't, it has so many layers in my head, at least. And to me, it's the surface is about Roger Stone, but the layers just beneath is about the transformation of the Republican Party. It's about the changes in American system, in democracy and society. And it is mostly about, that's the whole concept of the film. Why do I actually spend so much time with a political movement that is, to be most, which is unconventional and in some ways, I would argue, anti-democratic. And the reason I do this is because I think the importance of keeping the conversation going and engaging and listening to the people that you completely disagree with and that I wouldn't say I'm shocked about the methods, but I am kind of shocked at times and about how small-minded it all is, how self-serving and self-gratifying and corrupt. I know politics, yeah, But this is just next level. And but yeah, I'm digressing. But my point is, there's an enormous responsibility on both sides of the political spectrum to not exclude each other. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing I'm most proud about this film is that it engages in the most difficult conversation with people who are directly attacking democracy and insisting on keeping that conversation going. And I think I think it's beautiful, and I'm so proud of it. Nobody notes that point, but I don't care. I do care, but at least I do.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. Have you had any contact with Roger Stone since finishing the movie? And has he seen the finished movie?
We were subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. And when I went there last year, I think, Roger Stone got very upset and through his lawyers sent a cease and desist letter and publicly threatened me with a lawsuit, $25 million. And noted in a post on social media that I had gained weight and called me a gay fatty that he expected would soon die from my second cardiac arrest when I got the lawsuit. So after that, I kind of cut back on the communications.
Yeah. By the way, you almost, for people don't know it's in the movie, but you almost died, you know, while making this movie. In that instance, how did that change? Did that change at all how you looked at making the movie? Or how you looked at Roger Stone?
Yes, I think it did. I mean, it was a very difficult decision to include that material in the film. The films I've made previously, I've filmed all kinds I'm a European filmmaker, and I've made European. I have filmed the French president. I've even filmed Putin, and he got very upset and all that. But I almost never include myself in the films. So this is a very, I die on camera in the film. That is as intimate as anything gets. It's a very private moment, I can tell you. I'm glad you have not experienced, but it is a very private moment. And the reason why I included it was that it's the first time in the process that Stone's cynicism cracks and he displays some empathy. Mm-hmm. Because the result of this, I mean, the real story of this is I'm in the hospital bed waiting for heart surgery, and Stone and I was on my way to meet him when it happened, and he texts me, and he's really intensively concerned, it appears, and
it comes off as genuine in the movie.
Honestly. Yes, and I think, and I,
yeah, because I don't know what else would be really the benefit there at that point for him.
I agree, and it as it ends, he invites us back. Then of course, everything is not as rosy as you might believe. What is interesting about Stone is on a personal level, he's very averse to confrontation. He really doesn't. He's very mellow and avoiding that. So I basically never discussed it with him. And when we returned and he allowed us back, he never mentioned it with a word. And as an observational filmmaker, I'm not there to discuss. I'm there to observe. Mm-hmm. So I put it off. I didn't talk to him about it at all until the last day of filming on January 20th. And then he explained that the other film crew had lost interest because he wasn't going to prison.
Yeah, so it was much different than originally other people had told you, you know, it was like a monetary thing. And then, but, you know, it was...
Well, no, it was a monetary thing. I know that for sure. But they just lost interest. They paid him an amount to get the exclusive access.
So before I let you go, I do want to know, in your opinion, why do you think Roger Stone even let you like film so much? Because he even asked you to read like his letter to Trump.
Well, I've made these kinds of films many times with heads of state and governments in Europe and so on. And it is not unusual. I think it is it's akin to what we call the Stockholm syndrome, that you start to sympathize with your captor, with the one holding you hostage. In this case, I am the one holding him hostage. So you get that energy. And the other thing is also you're at hand, you're there. And I think that's why.
I think part of it is his ego. I mean, when he's obviously really reveling in what's happening, he's got a great big smile on his face and he can't help but, you know, want that to come through that, hey, you know, I'm the guy responsible for what you're seeing here.
All politicians that I have filmed have of course been driven by vanity as well.
Mm-hmm. So the movie Storm Foretold comes out tomorrow in select theaters. I highly recommend it. I thought it was great, not just because you're here, as a movie and as a part of history. And I think when I said, what's the point, you know, almost what's the point of making it? Also the fact that it will be here for people to see, you know, yours who aren't alive right now, we can look back at this weird time in history. So thank you for doing this.
Well, thanks, Nito. It was great meeting you.
You as well. And continued success. I actually want to check out some of your other stuff.
Thanks. I'll send something for you. Take care.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks. Bye.